Have mindset, work, and affirmations only taking you so far in your ability to attract your desires into your reality? Do you find that you struggle to have faith before your desired manifestations show up? And do you have a sense that there's something that's holding you back, something you're not conscious of, some subconscious belief deep within that's stopping you from creating what you desire? And are you tired of having to hustle to bring your desires to life? And are you ready to attract and receive them instead? This self-guided embodied manifestation course will teach you the tools to envision, align, and embody your manifestations by attracting them from your natural way of being. In this self-guided online course, you'll learn the best tools, rituals, theories, and practical steps to consciously create all of your desires with your feminine energy for more flow, alignment, and ease. And by fully embodying your desire within and having solid faith in the universe that you're co-creating with, your desire appears in your external reality as a byproduct. And you become a magnet for it instead of the other way around. And yet there are so many obstacles in the way of this magnetism in the form of limiting beliefs, generational patterns, societal conditioning that holds you back, that live in the subconscious, in the nervous system, and the body. This course will teach you how to bring your vision down from the spiritual realm and into your entire being, ensuring your mind, body, emotions, and spirit are all in alignment with what you're calling in so you can attract and call in your desires by embodying yourself fully while clearing out anything in your body and nervous system that is in opposition to what you're manifesting to create safety for it to arrive. For you to be able to receive it, whether that's a new home, a new soul-aligned career or business, a new partner, your next luxury vacation, you name it. Be the first to know when the course goes live in August by joining the waitlist. The waitlist will be linked in the episode description, so you can get on the waitlist there. And you'll be the first to know when the course is released in August. Welcome, welcome back to the podcast. Thank you so much for being here. I am really excited, as usual, to share our guest this week. And I find that with every guest that I interview, it's actually a topic that's so timely in my life and that I'm navigating, and I hope it is for you as well. But this is just a new way of approaching money. And I have been on this journey of rewriting my relationship to money and how to incorporate embodiment in my finances. And so when I saw that our guest today, which is Gail Coleman, had a book that came out called The Body of Money, a self-help guide to creating sustainable wealth through innate intelligence, it really sparked my interest because I feel that we haven't heard a lot about how wealth and a relationship to money is really impacted by our body and our relationship to our body and our generational experiences that live within our body and trauma, nervous system, all of that. And so I learned so much from today's episode, and I know that you will too, but it's really about looking at money in a new way and seeing how bringing body into this relationship helps you to feel more comfortable around money, feel safe around money. And Gail is the person that can help you do that. So Gail Coleman is one of the country's leading experts in personal financial freedom and the author of the book, The Body of Money. She's a coach, writer, entrepreneur, and financial advisor with more than 35 years of professional experience. And tapping into decades of experience in the field of somatic finance, Gail's unique meditative and embodiment practices demystify our money woes, tend to wounds created by generational trauma, and put financial agency squarely back in our own hands, creating clarity and confidence around our choices rather than overwhelm. So along with certifications as a CFP and Master Integral Coach, Gail is a Big Leap Coach through the Hendrix Institute, and she is a certified teacher in the Gateless methodology. And she is co-founder of the Coleman Knight Advisory Group, LLC, a holistic and integral wealth advisory firm based in Massachusetts. So she really brings the practical together with the body knowledge. And I think that is incredibly important as well, because we hear a lot about mindset and, yeah, rewriting our relationship with money and inner healing. But then how does it apply to actually how you manage your money? And Gail has the tools to do that. So I am excited to share this conversation with you. Let me know how it resonates. Let me know what you'd like to hear more of. And I hope you enjoy today's episode. So welcome to the podcast, Gail. I'm so excited to chat with you today. Thank you so much for coming on.
It's my pleasure. I'm happy to be here.
Yes. So tell us a little bit about your journey to where you are today. How did you, you know, get drawn to somatic finance, and what were the steps that took you to realize, you know, this is part of embodying your wealth? And I know you have experience in the financial field, and I think that's so unique. So I'd love to hear more. How did you marry the two?
That began a long time ago, decades ago. So I'll try to be brief. So stop me if I go on too long. But I began my financial planning career right after college. When I knew that I wanted to be a financial planner, I knew that I wanted to help people make wise financial decisions. I had been in a college course on risk management, and I was analyzing, you know, homeowners insurance policies and umbrella policies and all of these, you know, practical, important things that we all need to do. And I thought, what are my friends who are getting liberal arts degrees going to do? How do they know how to make these decisions? So then it was, okay, this is what I want to do, because that's important to help people. And so then I learned that that was the being a financial planner, and subsequently learned I needed to get to a financial center. I chose Boston. I left my native state of Florida and drove up and began to pursue my career. And that was in the 80s. And I was in various couple of different corporate positions. And that was a time of tax shelters, way before we had the kind of financial planning that includes life planning and the psychology of money. Mm-hmm. And I was so distraught by the corporate field, the you know, I'll say masculine side of the work that is done. And I said, we can do better. And I started my own company in 1988 with the approach that, you know, we really do need to be honoring the client and truly be client focused. Mm-hmm. Beginning in the 90s, that was when the psychology of money came into play, behavioral finance. And I had a particular client experience in the early 90s. It was a client business owner who was transferring his business to his daughter. And we were signing all the documents, and it was going very well. And he and his wife were there. And I just innocently asked, and I'll call him Sam, "Sam, are you happy?" And this big burly man, you know, well over 200 pounds, began to sob. And I was both shocked, but also very just tender, and allowed him to have his experience, and really realized then that, you know, there's some crucible moments that call for a whole different kind of conversation, a whole different way of holding the importance of what we were doing with our clients. And that began a very deep journey for me of really honing my most important tool, which is my body. Because in my body, I knew, which is my most precious asset and yours and every other human, is my presence, which is the way we connect to our clients in every way, shape, and form. It was during that period that I found my meditation practice and in Indo-Tibetan Buddhism, which was really it was somatic meditation and brought the body into play. Early 2000, I began to study with Gay and Kathleen Hendricks in breath and body work. And so I was almost on two tracks where I was deeply involved in money and finances and deeply involved in somatic development and meditation and wisdom. So it was those, you know, my path and the those practices that I realized in my own experiences. I'm going, you know, everything that we're looking at and how we're developing our work with clients and client services is all cognitive. Right. And that's very limited. And so I started to ask, when are we going to bring the wisdom of the body into matters of money? And that was a weird conversation for many people, even those who were on the cutting edge of evolving our profession. So I'll stop there. I've said a lot.
Yeah, that's really helpful to understand. Yeah, you've been doing this for a long time. And I do think that, you know, I'm just on this path myself and this growth journey and realizing the connection of the body and nervous system and finances. And I can't imagine, you know, like you said, bringing it up at this point and not getting the understanding and I guess understanding that connection between the two. And so I love to hear, so you became a coach and you started to support people with their finances through a somatic lens. Is that right?
Absolutely. I was also studying integral theory and that in 2000 began to participate with integral seminars. And because that was a landscape that really resonated with me and our practice. So that's when we adopted the integral wealth services, because we always had the interior conversations. We were always covering that territory and asking those questions that really honed in on what matters most to our clients. So that when we were implementing and creating their financial plan, it was always very connected. However, the conversations, even the psychological conversations, were still very cognitive. The behavioral finance conversations, we could understand our limiting money beliefs. We could understand that they needed to change. And they didn't necessarily change and evolve. And through my own experiences and practices, I began to see the difference and became an integral coach through Integral Coaching of Canada. And yes, through the somatic lens, brought forward an integration in the way we worked with clients and certainly when in coaching. And as I know you know from a somatic practitioner, that unless we tap into our direct experiences that are held within our body and feel the sensations and move through the emotions and are what I call unfelts, mm-hmm. Then whatever is going on for us, and let's, you know, particularly let's look at money, it's going to continue to repeat. And our body is our ally, is our juicy, loving ally. And she won't offer up anything unless it's ready for us to really receive and feel. And if we ignore it, it might begin to show up in an unfriendly way.
Yeah. What's an example of how it would show up, you know, in an unfriendly way? Because when I think of, yeah, you're talking about finances are very cognitive, the way that they're traditionally discussed, it's like ignoring the whole body below the head. And I wonder, what do you see as, you know, the limitations of not connecting with your body in terms of your finances? Like, how does that show up?
Well, some of the patterns that we have of overspending, you know, unhealthy use of credit cards, hoarding, or even being very, very frugal and rigid and stingy.
Yeah.
You know, when there's plenty of financial resources to support your life. So it's really what happens is we have a disconnect between our heart's longing. You know, what is it we're really here to do? What's our, you know, I love Mary Oliver's question, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? So we have a big gap between our heart's longing and the resources in our life that can help that happen.
Yeah, that's very helpful to see what that can show up as, what behaviors it influences, and how it really holds us back. Like, it's more than the money, right? It's about like this energy, it sounds like you're talking about, of knowing there's enough to share and to receive. And that really goes to my next question around money and fear. And
yeah,
I would love to hear your thoughts on this, because I think it's just, we're at this point in the collective as well, where there is a lot of fear and scarcity. And I have to consciously all the time just say, nope, I'm not like looping into that, you know, pattern and that belief. And I'd love to hear your thoughts around that and how that's showing up.
Yeah. Well, I want to offer just a few bullet points that can we let just be. So for example, the undercurrent of money is fear. And we are born into that field. The financial services industry and much of the noise that we hear in the media is fear driven. And so it is natural for us to feel that. We probably have parents who had some fear-based money, you know, patterns. And so I want to give us all a, you know, what is it, a pass? I mean, like, you know, let's be kind and gentle with ourselves that, you know what, I am scared about money, and that's okay. Mm. And then to say fear is a human condition, a joy, let's say. Fear is natural. Fear is part of the experience that, you know, is driven from our amygdala, our primitive brain, that tells us we need to either, you know, mobilize, get the heck up and out, or immobilize, you know, stop, pause, and it's all about survival. And that's okay. And we're not going to get rid of fear. So it's a skillful response to how fear shows up. And that's where our body comes into play. That's where our body can show us where fear is located in our body, how we can attend to it, and how we can, I guess, you know, and I want to say be energized by it in a way that allows that creates more space for us to respond. So fear typically resides in our belly.
Mm.
But I ask you and your listeners to, you check it out for yourself. You get to feel your own unique experience of what is fear like for me. And for me, it can be a little bit tight and crampy. It can be gerbily, you know, swirling feelings. It can be wet palms, you know. If we fully experience our fear, that sensation and emotion goes for about 60 to 90 seconds. Right. And then something shifts. And we gain some kind of space or insight, relief, something. So
yeah,
that's our journey, is to knit together what are the situations and beliefs and behaviors that scare me about money, hold it with generosity, and then really become curious and slow down and use our body as a, you know, I was going to say tuning fork, but yeah, tuning into what's really happening and guide us.
Yeah, that's incredibly helpful for my listener. You can start to tap into your body and yeah, see where fear lives for you. And like you said, you know, becoming more embodied and becoming more safe in our own bodies is giving voice to that fear. So I like that you said that, you know, letting it express itself and let itself be there by being kind to ourselves and knowing that we're conditioned to have this fear. And I don't think it maybe fully goes away, but it, you know, you lessen that power that it has, right? By just letting it be there and exist and be seen and understood. And I do feel like this connection with money can be very emotional. And like you were saying, those patterns, like sometimes people are spending and debting in order to feel better in the moment. And then, you know, they look back and they're like, wait a second, that wasn't, you know, what I feel logically now. And so I really do think that this feminine way of approaching finances that you're supporting with the emotions is so necessary, because I know for myself, I, you know, am very, I guess I would say I'm like passionate about personal finance, and I like to learn, you know, what's the best way to save for my future, to invest and be empowered in that way. But I'm also learning, you know, how to be empowered in my body this way, because I find that no matter how much you learn, it's like you have these wired patterns within. And I would love to hear your perspective on, you know, how the, you know, body plays a role in generational patterns with money, and how do you see resolution and, or maybe you experience this with the clients, how their generational patterns show up in their money relationships?
Yeah. Let's come back to that, because I want to respond to what you were saying about the feminine approach, and we're really expanding the wisdom. It's not like we're eliminating our rational, strategic, very important brain and that has lots of great information, but we're integrating both the masculine and feminine. And that's what's key. We're opening up to more wisdom. So for those listeners who are going, wait a minute, I really do want to be able to make money and save and hallelujah, that's true. And we do that, but we tap into our innate intelligence and we bring that forward as well, because that's very important as we evolve. So generational finances you know, this really relates to some relates to epigenetics, where you know, what has happened in the past to our parents and grandparents and on and on and on, lives in us. And it sometimes can feel weird. Like, why am I so scared? You know I have sufficient, plenty of money in the bank. I know that I'm okay. And yet I get gripped with something. And it's not uncommon for us to carry the fear and scarcity of our ancestors, particularly if we have parents, grandparents, great-grandparents who were in the Depression, or we happen to come from Ireland and the potato famine, or we, you know, lots of different trauma that lives in us. And it's the beauty of brain science that's coming forward in the last 10 years that helps us to demystify some of these things that can sound kind of woo-woo, but it's not. It's actually science that's proving it. And so we can lean into that and go, wow, okay, I recognize that this is my lineage, and I have the choice to make a difference in with respect to this thing that I inherited, this money thing. I like to call it a money thing because we all have money things. Yeah. And so that's one aspect of it. Does that answer a little bit about kind of where you are leaning?
Yes, absolutely. And yeah, exactly like you said, epigenetics and how we are passing this down through our cells and our bloodline, like it is there. And it's also, like learned behaviors in our consciousness, right, that are also passed down. And so I think it's helpful, at least for me it was, when I learned that, where it's like, there's so much that you don't even realize isn't from you. And like you said, it's like this thing that's going on, and it gives you that understanding of, oh, okay, I don't need to shame myself or even my family, but I just understand that was their lived experience. And then I can choose something different. And I understand that now, that choosing something different means embodying something different in your body and your nervous system, right?
Yes. Absolutely. It's, there's a very big difference between simply understanding it and going, oh, okay, that's it. You kind of have a little victim of like, I'm at the effect of, and no, everyone has capacity to just get gleeful, almost like, oh, wow, I can shift the course of history, and it can come through me and my soma. And that's the beauty of this. And I love that. I love that.
That is beautiful. And I do think, especially as women, I think that's, you know, something, you know, I think that I've experienced, and maybe others have as well, but this experience of, oh, you know, I don't know what to do with my money, or I let like a man in my life take care of that. And I think that was, you know, reflective of that time period, maybe of our parents' generation. And I love to hear from you. What are some skillful money choices that women can make, especially my listener, that, you know, can be paired with this somatic work? And so they can just start to become more educated, because I do think that the ability to hold more money and make more money comes from feeling confident in your identity and your belief that you can manage it, right?
Yes. And there's so many ways to approach investing and saving. And where I would really encourage your listeners is to take a couple steps back and come inside. Yeah. And what I mean by that is to really tune into, what is most important to me? Like, if I'm on a high powered career and I'm achieving and I'm have great career success, really understand, is that bringing me alive? Am I happy? And I don't mean happy, giddy, but, you know, is joy flowing through me? And how would I know? And so before we stop, I want to tag into, you know, the only place we're going to know our joy and our well-being is in our body. So it will never come from a new title, a higher, you know, a higher salary, and, or, you know, marrying, you know, the man of our dreams. I mean, and what I'm saying here is, first, it's about who am I and what really makes my life worth living? What are some of the things that feel like unique to me and that I want to experience in my life? If it's travel, if it's a relationship, if it's children, if it's a home, career, you know, I want to have this kind of impact in the world.
Yeah.
Those are the sources that you want to have be your touchstone. And so I'm sure you have some wonderful, and I'm talking about, you could call it your purpose, anything, it's really about honing in, who am I and why am I here? And all of those really big questions. And then from there, allow your decisions to tether to that, to make sure that there's a lifeline between that. Because there are no wrong answers as long as you are truly honest with yourself. And your heart will tell you, your belly will tell you, your body tells you.
Oh, I love that. I love that so much.
Yeah. And with that, you want to be able to, you know, save in a way that aligns with your values. You want to invest aligning with your values. And even, you know, philanthropy, how do you want to be giving in the world? You know, in my book, and I know you said you haven't read it yet, but there's something that's called the virtuous flow of somatic finance. And that's an illustration of a Mobius strip that moves from sufficiency to generosity. Mm-hmm. And that movement comes from the innate knowing that I'm okay right now, always, this embodied sufficiency that is void of scarcity or fear or greed. It's like, and from that place, generosity naturally flows. And so the hope and aspiration I have for the world is someday that we're all flowing on that. God, what a better world we would all be living in, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So, sharing, it's really coming from within, and it's really more about living your life that's in alignment with your purpose and money coming from that, not the other way around, not putting money as the priority, right?
Yeah. Because you touched on it earlier that, you know, we will have this, we'll feel something like, something that is not okay. And it could be anything. We not have a relationship we want, or we're disappointed. And instead of maybe staying with that feeling, we go buy something that, you know, this will give us an instant high. It's a adrenaline kick. And for, you know, a second we feel good. And then there's this downer. And then we're in the cycle of suffering, basically, of doing something, expecting something, and then we feel worse, and then we repeat. Mm-hmm. So it's getting out of those cycles, and the way we get out of those cycles in a way that is, you know, most resourceful is to be able to bring our somatic wisdom into it and feel the sadness, disappointment, fear, whatever it is, and choose in a better way.
Oh, I love that. And I loved what you said, embodied sufficiency. I think that is so important for my listener to step and take that step of, you know, feeling that within themselves and feeling enough as they are. And what a way to overcome, I think I've heard it referenced as like poverty consciousness, right? Like when you already know that you have everything that you need within you, and then you can be in that flow of abundance and giving of your skills and your time and your money, like, flows from there. And so I think that's really important to understand, that it's almost connected with this relationship that you have with yourself. Like, I'm enough. I have, like,
yes. And I want to tweak that a little bit, because I was very, very intentional about the word sufficient and sufficiency. Because when we try on words like enough or plenty or abundant, they cause a wobble when we are in our body. And so, because enough, it's like, well, what's enough? Well, and then we go to our brain and we start to, like, well, I don't know, I need a little bit more, or whatever, you know. And it's like there's a little contraction. We, like, you know, we start to go, you know. So and then if there's plenty, it's like more than enough, we kind of, like, we still go to our head going, what am I going to do with it? And it's like, so sufficiency requires the least amount of our energy, our mental energy, our emotional energy. And so we can right now just take, in this moment, as we're talking, just feel our feet on the ground and our bottom on the chair. And we can notice our breath and just be here. We can say, I'm okay. In this moment, I'm okay. And the next moment, we're okay. And how does that feel in my body? How does my okayness feel? Like, huh? And we string those okay moments together. I'm sorry, stuff's flying. But we string those moments together.
Yeah.
And then we have an expanded moments of sufficiency. Like, I'm okay. And this is the, right now is the only place we can feel this okayness, this efficiency.
Right.
For future fearing or past regretting. And so it's a practice. And the more we practice, the more we become embodied in this. And this, from this space, choices are a whole lot easier and I'd say better, more successful for us.
Oh, I love that. That's incredibly helpful to understand the choice between, that word sufficiency that you chose because of what emotions that come up from it, and the least amount of emotions, it sounds like. And I really like that, that understanding, because it shows us that, like you said, it's in the present moment that then we can make the choices, and it's like we're creating a new pattern. Versus when we're out of sufficiency or we're in scarcity, we go to those patterns of overspending and we do those things to make ourselves feel better on the outside. Whereas this is just, let's start from within and let that reflect and set our intentions and actions from the external point of view.
Yeah. And if, you know, if there's a moment where we're feeling like that poverty mentality, mm-hmm. take your left hand on your belly and your right hand on your heart and just be there.
Yeah.
It's a tiny practice of, I'm okay. And I hear you. I feel you. Yeah. And just notice what happens below the palm of your hand. Feel into your chest, feel into your belly, feel the spine elongating. So it's not a mystery. It's not a weird thing to say, I'm including my body.
Right.
You know, but we have a culture that's very disembodied. So we're just taking baby steps and tiny practices and becoming more and more complete of who we are as human beings.
Absolutely. And absolutely. Like you said, it's this connection with money does bring up our emotions and our feelings and our body. And you have this incredible book, which I'm excited to read, and is actually how I found you. You know, I saw the title of your book, The Body of Money, and I was like, whoa, that is really, really not what I'm seeing anywhere else. And so I love to see what inspired you to write this book and share your wisdom this way.
Thank you. Thank you. I began to practice what I was understanding with clients, with financial planning clients and coaching clients, and began talking about, somatic finance 20 years ago, began writing all of the different things that I was discovering in 2016. Somatic finance came into form in 2011. So it's a joy to have this book available for more people.
Yeah, I think it's going to be so supportive for myself and for my listener as well. And I just really, appreciate you for writing it and sharing this wisdom, because I think it is this part where we can come into our wholeness and our power by, being with our emotions and giving ourselves that connection and grace when it comes to money. And, we've grown up with all these disempowering beliefs, and how can we reclaim what it actually means to us through understanding our goals, like you said, and our purpose, and how money can fit and support from that way, which I think we've been taught the complete opposite way in society. And it hasn't really helped to help us be more knowledgeable and empowered from our body standpoint. So I think this is like very revolutionary work that you're doing, and would love to hear, where can my listener find you online?
You can find me on somaticfinance.com. So SOMATIC finance.com. And there's lots of goodies there too, lots of resources that you can explore. There's certainly a link to my book. And I have a fun offering that's coming up beginning July 1st. It's My Money Moves Online game. And I will be going, it's a container for a couple months. I'll be going through it with you, holding two classes for about 90 minutes long each. And so that's something fun that I created many years ago, as well as a friendly way to explore money, because money is deemed so serious.
Yes.
So there's that too. But I really delighted to be here with you. I really appreciate you inviting me on, and wish you and your listeners great joy in your journey. It's so important, and the more joyful we are around money, the more infectious it's going to be. Probably not a good word, infectious, but more generous to everyone. And I delight in the potential of what can happen. And it certainly is important for, you and your listeners in your 30s and 40s who are, women, powerful women who are going to be continuing to make a huge impact in the decisions that are made in our society. Mm. And, I know you already know this probably, but the studies that come out on women in investing and what happens in cultures when women are in charge, far more favorable for more people, far, better returns. So I think there's something to pay attention to. And this is not to exclude men, or we're whole people, so we all have masculine and feminine energies in us. We're really about balancing. I think that's really key. In every situation, there's going to be a need to preference one way over the other, and so sometimes we do make a very masculine agentic action, and sometimes we make the feminine. And it's a matter of us being aware and conscious of how that's happening. And so
but
it's so good.
Incredibly helpful. Yeah, I am a full believer of the same thing. Like, we call upon more of those energies in one scenario than another. And I really do see that in your vision for your work and how being empowered financially has an impact on society at large, and what that can mean. And it will be so interesting to see what happens when more women are financially empowered and how that affects the collective as well. And your website's a great inspiration for that. I was looking, and I love your blogs as well, so my listener can check that out. And I am going to take away to have more play and joy with money and
yay. That's just yay.
Fun. And yeah, I think that's, like you said, that expansive energy that is helpful to approach money with and not make so serious. And so I think that's what incites the fear and confusion and just make it fun. And sounds like it wants to be expressed in that way too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I love that. That's a takeaway.
Yeah.
The minute we, if we're having fun, our body's relaxing.
Yeah.
We're more open. We're stronger. So much more of our somatic capacity is present versus when we're 10th step and whatever, there's nothing that's going to happen now. It's going to, and you can play that way. Right.
Right.
So, you can play with being scared.
And see that playful is more open and wanting to receive and more flexible. And it's hard when you're just very closed up like that. So that was definitely, I think, an important takeaway for myself. And I know I'm excited to read your book now and for my listener to check out your work. But thank you so much for coming on, Gail. This has been such a expansive conversation. And thank you for sharing your wisdom with us.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to meet you, Emily.
Same here.